how can we live with the impact of climate change in the Rogue Valley? That's the focus of a new course at Southern Oregon University. It's also a question that I'll ask my guests to answer. Joining me in the studio is Alan Journay. Alan taught ecology, conservation, biology, and environmental science for 30 years before retiring and relocating to Southern Oregon 15 years ago. He's a co-founder of Southern Oregon Climate Action Now and serves as co-facilitator. Alan was involved in the development and teaching of the Masterclass Protector course at SOU from its inception. Welcome back to The Exchange, Alan.
Well, thanks for inviting us. We really appreciate being here.
Also joining the conversation is Sydney Combs, who is a student at SOU. Welcome, Sydney.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
So this course sounds quite specific to this region of Southern Oregon.
Well, it is. We do certainly try to make it as regional as possible. One of the segments in the course comprises a discussion of what climate change has been happening, how climate change has been happening in Jackson and Josephine counties, and how it's likely to continue in the future. So we certainly have a strong local component. And when we talk about what we can do, one of the areas of things we can do is locally and individually. So we certainly make it local. But of course, climate change is a global phenomenon. So it would be silly for us to pretend something like, well, what's happening in the Rogue Valley is really unusual. It's not. It's just part of a global phenomenon. So
we certainly
address the global component of it as well.
Excellent. Why was it created?
Well, when my wife Kathy and I founded Southern Oregon Climate Action Now, which didn't have that name at the time. It got that name after a year or so. One of the things that we really wanted to do was to develop a course for the community. And in fact, 5 years later, we did. We developed a community-based course called Master Climate Protector, a primer for action. And we were teaching that from 2017 through 2023. As a community course, a 10-week community course. And the course that we are now offering through Southern Oregon University's Department of Environmental Science, Policy, and Sustainability is certainly developed very closely from that community course. But the thing that we're doing with the SOU course is we're making it available to SOU students for 3 credits. But we're doing something which I don't think happens in a lot of SOU courses. We're also making it very available to community members. And so as we're teaching it, and Sydney was in the first running of the course as an SOU course, we have a combination of SOU students and community members, and the interactions are very interestingly different, and Sydney might be able to talk about how different it is from a course that you're attending, which has only SOU students.
I like that, and that's a good segue. So let's talk to Sydney. Before I ask you about the course, Sydney, tell me a little bit about you. Where'd you grow up? How'd you get interested in environmental science?
Yeah, so I actually grew up in Reno, Nevada. I've been living in Ashland for around 4 years. I'm a senior in college, and I'm actually not an environmental science and policy student. I'm an education student, but I heard about the course through one of my general education courses where Alan came into a lecture hall with my friend Sophia, who I love and adore, and I met my first year of college. And I spoke to her individually, and as well as just tuning into what the course was about. And I figured that this would be a good course to do just because seeing the summers in Ashland and kind of having that smoke season has made me concerned. And I figured it would be a good course to try, especially considering that it has climate action plans implemented into it. And it kind of helps me feel like I can be more proactive for change, as well as just being aware about what's going on with the environment and how to speak on it confidently with other people. And that's what I got out of the course, too, for sure.
Well, certainly climate is interdisciplinary.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to affect all of us, no matter sector of society we're in. What did you take away from the course? What was your experience like?
I felt like I had more agency over what I could do outside of the doom and gloom of it. I felt like I had more of an increased awareness about what's going on globally and locally. And just being able to talk to people about it with confidence that are critics, or to be able to connect with people and bounce off ideas on how we can have a change.
Okay, and you're pursuing a career in education.
I'm actually going to get my master's in mental health counseling. So that was another bit of my backstory. But I ended up making that change with my route around this year. And I'm sure I'm going to have a lot of climate-related issues within my clients and stuff like that. So it's also a good implementation into the field I'm going into.
No doubt. We actually had a show about how farmers are suffering from mental health conditions because of climate. So there's a lot of work for you coming up.
And that probably involved Maud Powell.
Look at you. You've been around the block. My guests are Alan Jornet and Sydney Combs. Alan teaches a new course offered at Southern Oregon University on how to live with climate change in the Rogue Valley. Sydney is a student at SOU who experienced the course. So, Alan, we live in this technological age that some refer to as the sixth industrial revolution, in which man and machine cooperate, and machine learning is quickly outpacing human learning.
Yes.
But all of this tech is dependent upon essential raw materials that are extracted from the earth. And consequently, more energy is required to power our devices, our cars, and whatever content is produced by AI. This battle over access and control of mineral resources is now playing out in real time on the political scene. Where's this all headed as far as you can see? And does this show up in your course?
I think we're going to have to make sure we address it. I think we talk about it a little in terms of the human element particularly. One of the arguments that you often hear people making is, well, I can't deal with all of this climate change stuff because you people just want us to go back to the Stone Age.
Mm-hmm.
And my response to that is absolutely not, because it's our technology that is helping us become incredibly much more energy efficient. Unfortunately, artificial intelligence is one of those incredibly energy expensive phenomena. So what we have to do with data centers and AI and all of those things is make them more efficient, because we cannot absolutely afford the kind of energy sinks that are data centers. They have to become much more efficient, and they are becoming a tremendous threat to our transmission system, as you're probably aware. And one of the things that we're doing at the moment is following the 2025 Oregon legislative session. And there are a number of bills that have been introduced to help us become more efficient and in terms of our use of the grid. And that's something that we have to really, really work on, because if we can't just assume we can kick in with all of these renewable energy resources and the transmission grid will stand it. It's becoming very complex. And one of the things we're certainly trying to do is encourage folks to get off fossil fuels, and that means move to electricity. Electrify now is one of the crying calls we have. But one of the problems with that is it puts a tremendous pressure on the grid unless people have their own solar panels and they're using electricity they generate themselves. So one of the things that I have just learned about because of a bill that's been introduced is this concept of distributed power plans and distributed energy resources. And what that means is decentralizing our electrical generation.
So we're localizing, yes. generating electricity.
So anybody who has an electric car that sort of generates its own power as its regenerative driving is a distributed energy resource. And if we need to marshal all these things. And anybody who has solar panels or wind turbines and stores the electricity, they have a distributed energy resource. And what this bill that I was referring to is doing is encouraging the utilities, in fact, requiring the utilities to develop a distributed power plan in which they take advantage of all of these distributed generation activities and build them into their plan.
So we're talking about an evolution of the business model of how we produce electricity and distribute it.
Yes, exactly, and it's fascinating, and it's been interesting to me because this is an area about which before this legislative session, which forced me now into learning a bit about this, I had not even thought.
Do we know what bill this is? Who's behind it?
I'm following so many bills, Mike. I can't remember.
I don't want to put you on the spot. Yeah, but
I can't remember what number it is, and I can't remember who the legislators are who are introducing it.
But there is an effort in Oregon,
yes.
to decentralize the electrical generation and to localize it.
Yes, indeed.
That's fascinating. What do you think about that, Sydney?
I think that's wonderful. I was having a hard time following it just because I don't have much, insight on that, but I enjoyed hearing
about it. Well, this is certainly going to be part of, as you become one of the leaders.
That is true.
It's going to be part of your universe, and right now Absolutely. We have this battle, this political battle over resources.
We do.
And there are those who want to remain in the fossil fuel sector, and they are shutting down the funding and the opportunities to expand on renewable energy, wave energy, wind energy, solar energy, and so on and so forth. What are we going to do about that?
All I'm going to say is, Mike, that's insane, and you are correct, but it is insane. We can't put our fingers in the dike and stop what's happening because this is a real problem. The global warming and the climate change it's causing are real problems, and we have to acknowledge that we have to do something about it because the alternative is unthinkable. It's basically a planet that is not suitable for life as we know it.
So what's being taught in your class is a reasonable understanding of what's happening.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And how we live with that here in the Rogue Valley.
Yeah, we want people to understand how climate change is influencing agriculture, transportation, the interactions between agriculture, transportation, energy and construction, and the climate change issue. And we want folks to have a sense of what it is they can do to reduce their contribution to the problem and turn things around because we just have to do it because the alternative, as I said, is unthinkable.
Well, I think it's important that we have actionable steps and
yes.
that we have a cognizant understanding of what's happening around us because when we look at the political landscape, they're telling us there's nothing to see here.
Well, fortunately, the state level, that's not the case.
That's not the case, so I appreciate that. Well, thank you both for joining me today.
Well, thank you for inviting us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.